This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, all, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
And away we go. Welcome to season 15 and episode number 3,287. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and Mike Hawk.
I'm on.
The Men's Room. On tap today, it is a random question. Your guess is as good as mine. Category, Star Wars and delicious salads. We will play Profile This. Plus headlines, Men's Room Shout of the Day, fumble listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Tim.
Click, clack.
They're going to talk. Oh, here we go. We get down in the ocean where Delaware swimmer pries shark's mouth open with his bare hands. Meanwhile, a man is charged after jumping into the Bass Pro Shop aquarium to impress his online fans. Kids push kid. They pushed a man into a canal after he tells him to stop kicking swans. A woman gets chin fat removal procedure and now has a jawline just like Ron's. And Kentucky man gets arrested, then gets arrested again and again. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, most people do not want to be arrested. It doesn't mean that you will not be, but chances are you don't want to be. I was arrested once, did not enjoy any part of the experience, and decided I'd rather not go through that again. But then there's this guy in Kentucky who was arrested three times in less than 1 week. It got to the point that authorities simply recognized his dumb ass upon seeing him. Meanwhile, in Michigan, a man was also recognized and arrested. The problem, it was facial recognition software that quote-unquote recognized him. And by recognized, we mean it wrongfully misidentified someone. It's all good. He was arrested in his driveway in front of his wife and kids, but just 30 hours later, he was released. We call that an oopsie-daisy. Seems that facial recognition software is a lot less reliable than DNA evidence. And to that end, if authorities in Scotland really want to stop people from pooping outside of the Queen's vacation home, which I'm not kidding, apparently that's been an issue this year, there's plenty of DNA samples in the form of soiled wet wipes that are littering the estate. These are the things that happen in our world, but these are the stories we've seen, and they've left us with many questions. Questions we'd like to ask you in the form of our random question, and this is how it works. You call us, we ask you a question at complete random, and after you share your story, we will share with you the news story that inspired said question.
Be part of the big show on the random question, call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Hello, it's all 10. Away we go. Welcome to season 15, episode number 3,287.
What a large and in charge program we have for you today.
Guaranteed future repeat. Oh, man, what a show this is going to be. Exciting return of your guests as good as mine. Picked a couple of very interesting categories. Steve, I know you're going to love the top 10 salad ingredients of all times.
Chicken, tuna, pasta.
There are
potato.
You know, well, there might be a little bit of meat in there. You never know. But things that people put in their salads when they're all making a salad at home. We have the top 10 salad items. And, Ted, just for you. Your favorite top 10 Star Wars characters. So I did a Steve, and Ted, your guess is as good as
you
mine
know as
today.
Well.
Ted's category with Star Wars, Steve with salad ingredients. This is going to be a hell of a your guess is as good as mine. And today is the day that we do our random question. 206-421-ROCK.
Random. Hello, TJ. Random, welcome random, to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen. Hola, que pasa?
Hola, de nada.
All righty. What do we got here? All right, let's just start with this one, TJ. How did having some money cause you problems?
How did money cause me problems?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know the problems you have when you don't have money. They're all pretty much the same, but sometimes you stumble into money and things get worse. So I've heard.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Well, way back in my past, there was a time when I had some money, and I made this great decision to fall in with these characters to do some receiving of mail, some shipment stuff. And I paid up ahead, and it worked once, and it was great. Great times had by all. It was a product they called Panama Red at the time. And we lived in a podunk area, and it was just like I fell into something, and everybody was happy, and I was happy, and decided to do it one more time, one too many, and never heard from him again.
How much money did you lose?
About five.
5,000?
Yeah.
Did you make any money?
Well, yeah, I made a lot of money. I made a lot of friends and had some good times. Not much I remember now, years and years later, but it was a good time. I got to experience some things. You know, when you're the only one who's got this kind of stuff, it was like, wow, let's go to his house. And I was more worried and concerned about getting popped, but that never happened. It was just a really good thing, everything situated. But some people got greedy the wrong time, I guess, and it might have been me.
Well, you never know. I mean, look, either that or ultimately something else is going to catch up to you. So it could be worse. It could be,
you know,
it could be a legal thing.
Or losing my ass in jail.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It worked out well, but it's a good memory. Lesson learned.
But see, that's why it's the ultimate setup. Because they know you're not going to go to the cops, even though basically they got $5,000 from you.
This is true.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. Reason we asked, how did having money cause problems? This is a hell of a story when you look at the entire timeline, but, and you maybe even remember this guy from back in the day. He was in the news two or three times. But the West Virginia man who claimed that, what was at that time,
the largest lottery jackpot in history. He has passed on. Family members confirmed that Jack Whitaker died over the weekend at the age of 73 years old. Do you remember this guy at all?
I don't know by name. How much did he win?
Whitaker picked the correct numbers to win the Powerball jackpot on Christmas night in 2002. He purchased the ticket in Hurricane, West Virginia. The ticket was worth $315 million.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Initially, when he checked the numbers, the TV station which broadcast them actually put them up wrong. So he wasn't exactly sure. The one station that he was watching,
they put them up wrong?
And he wouldn't check the number because he thought, well, look, if I've got whatever the deal is, six out of the seven,
certainly, you know,
I still win something.
He wouldn't check the ticket and found out, wow, I'm the big winner. The ticket had been won at a gas station where he said he got his gas and a biscuit every morning.
Now I remember him. Sadly enough, that reminds me.
Whitaker said at the press conference about the money, I told my wife the odds of them selling me a Powerball in four numbers and someone else a Powerball in five numbers was astronomical. I looked at the ticket. Sure enough, we had the winner. Now, one thing you need to know, Whitaker was already a millionaire at the time.
What?
He had a successful contracting and construction business in West Virginia. He noted at the press conference he looked forward to seeing his daughter and granddaughter enjoy the newfound fortune, and he did not believe the money would change him at all. He says, if I can help it, it's not going to change me. I'm content with my life. It's going to excite my daughter, my granddaughter. I get my enjoyment out of them being able to spend the money.
Okay.
But Whitaker's life after the jackpot became anything but joy. In August of 2003, he was robbed of $545,000 at the Pink Pony Gentleman Club in Cross Lanes.
The old Pink Pony.
Eh?
Two managers at the establishment were eventually arrested for the crime in which Whitaker's drink was spiked with a drug. He was then robbed a second time in 2004 when thieves broke into the car in the parking lot at the Pink Pony Gentleman's Club in Cross Lane and stole $200,000 in cash. Again, just by going to the Pink Pony, he lost $745,000.
Why does he take that much cash with him anywhere?
He's just that guy. The money in the second heist, however, was recovered. His granddaughter, Brandy Bragg, fell deeply into drugs, a habit fueled by her grandfather's fortune that he left her. Her boyfriend, Jesse Tribble, was found dead in Whitaker's home of a drug overdose in September 2004. 3 months later, Brandy disappeared. Her body was discovered, wrapped in plastic, and dumped in a woodpile behind a junk van in Putnam County outside the home of a former boyfriend.
Jesus.
Boyfriend admitted that Brandy had overdosed, and in a panic, he didn't know what to do and hit her lifeless body.
That's what you decide to do when you don't know what to do.
Yeah, things got a little bit better for him during the years following Brandy's death. Whitaker was the target of several lawsuits, including one from Caesars Atlantic City for bouncing a check for $1.5 million to pay for his gambling debts. Jeez. His daughter, Ginger Whitaker Bragg, Ginger. Brandy's mother, she was found dead at a home in Daniels. Foul play was not suspected in that death. Whitaker then left the state, moving to neighboring Virginia, where he was haunted by more tragedy. His home was destroyed in 2016 by a fire. He and his wife would eventually divorce over the strain brought on by the fortune.
Wow.
That is a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, he's like the guy you always see on those shows where it's like the downside of the lottery.
I mean, there is. And listen, I mean, your daughter falls into drugs. That's not on you. That's a decision an adult made. But why would you have over $500,000 in cash?
Look,
anywhere.
They say by the time they got to Virginia, the strain of the fortune had, you know, basically ruined their marriage. Okay, the first time that I get $545,000 stolen out of my car at the Pink Pony Gentleman Club. I'm going to be getting an earful from my wife, right? This is $500,000 cash.
And you're at the strip club.
I'm at the strip club. I've got this in my car. How dumb am I?
Uh-huh.
Surely, of all things, could you look just, if you're going to go to the strip club, and I know you're probably going to, don't take that much cash, or don't go to the strip club, or don't ever do that again, and then for a second time.
Use a debit card.
A year and a half later, $200,000 is stolen from his truck outside of that club.
If you won $300 million in the Powerball, how many people would you even tell?
It depends on the state that you're in. If you could do it anonymously, I'd definitely do it anonymously. So I would not make that public disclosure.
I know in Brazil, there was a guy like in the 60s or something. He won, I don't know, say $3 million. But in the 60s, that's worth a lot more than it is now. He announced to the world that he'd won the lottery. People were happy for him. Within like a week, they'd kidnapped his kid. And basically all the money he won, that was the ransom. He gave him the money. They killed his kid anyway. So now in Brazil, since then, so the last 40, 45, 50 years, if you win the lottery, you stay anonymous unless you choose to say anything.
It almost should be like to the point where you have the option of the witness protection option. You know, where you can just pick up and just move. You know what I mean? And
by the way, there's a lot of Pink Pony gentlemen's clubs.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah.
Is it one franchise or?
I don't think so. I think somewhere along the line, people just said, you know what? Let's call this place the Pink Pony.
I like that you've done the research. What are some of the states that?
Is the one in Cross Lanes, West Virginia on there? Is that the original Pink Pony?
If you're going to ride.
Sad news. Random, it's been, it was sold and it's being remodeled.
Oh, remodeled.
Yeah, I think they're going to turn it into
a church.
So one article says a West Virginia minister plans to turn it into a church.
Oh.
Another one says a sports bar.
Okay.
I think sports bar people would be less freaked out.
How about both?
On Sunday?
That way when you're done, you know what I mean? You just hang around, start ordering pitchers of beer. Like, I got a half an hour, we can order a pitcher.
I'm with you, though. Game. $500,000 in a strip club is ridiculous.
Regarding the guy you just talked about, Miles, I was like, who in the hell would carry that much cash? Someone chimes in and they say, look, he was on a couple of talk shows, that guy, and he defended why he carried so much cash around. And then they had, everyone thought he was a big dummy. Well, yeah, if you've been robbed of over $700,000 in cash because you keep putting it in your car going to the same strip club, you're an idiot.
Well, that was it. He was known to carry a large amount of cash on him at all times. So he was an easy target. If you're going to break into a car, break into the one with $200,000.
Yeah.
I'm not even the kind of guy that's going to break into a car. But if I know there's $200,000 in cash, I'm going to break into your car. It's just that easy. Hello, Daniel. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, sir.
Hola.
Daniel, welcome to the program. The random question.
All right.
Okay. Daniel, have you been working through the pandemic?
Yes, sir. I'm a chef.
You're a chef.
Ooh.
And have you been working the entire time? Did you get furloughed for a little while, or have you been still being pretty steady with it?
We actually got pretty steady when we opened back up, but I actually was working double when the coronavirus closed down because we were still doing takeout. It was just
okay. What have you noticed as far as the takeout goes? Not people that are doing curbside pickup, takeout, all that stuff. What food has surprised you that people seem to want more than maybe before?
No matter what, McDonald's has a line.
You know what?
Huh.
I will say yesterday, I had to go up to Marysville, see some friends, and there's a Dairy Queen up there. All right. Now, when we went to the friend's house, it's about 3 o'clock. There were maybe 7 cars in line. It was still a long line for the Dairy Queen pickup. I left at about 6 o'clock. It had to be like 15 cars. I cannot believe. And look, I like Dairy Queen, but if you're not giving me money, I cannot imagine waiting in line that long.
Yeah.
Like people crazy. Have lost their mind for fast food. And the thing is, fast food's always been around. People seem to, like, fast food's had this resurgence. You know, people are like, oh, my God. Did you know, if you go to McDonald's, there's this little booth on the side of it where you can drive up. Like, yeah, it'll be called the drive-thru, homie. Okay. It's been there for a while.
You get weekends off every once in a while?
Not weekends. It's usually days in the week.
Yeah, okay. Come on, man.
Well,
man said he's a chef.
If he's a chef, there's no chance.
Weekends are gone.
I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you this question based on your days off. But the question is, how early would you say is too early to start drinking on weekends?
Ooh. Too early?
Yeah, your day off. Like, what's too early to start drinking?
I think that's ridiculous. If it's your day off.
Yeah. I'm going to say 11 a.m. before that.
11 a.m.
Okay. All right. What if it's football season? Game starts at 10. Because football seems to buy a lot of guys that extra time to start drinking.
It's like
at 10 a.m.
It's like brunch.
All right.
Completely right there. If it's football, you got to have beer.
Okay, all right. So 10 a.m. is acceptable on NFL Sunday.
NFL Sunday, right. And brunch, you can go. Because, look, beer, in my opinion, beer, as far as any booze you can have, that does the least amount of damage, right?
God,
why are you drinking a beer at 10 a.m.? It's like, dude, I'm just trying to watch football. Now, we go to brunch at 10 a.m., like, you're drinking vodka.
You can wait on
it. I think it also depends on the sporting event you're watching.
It depends on anything.
Well, okay, so you, Ted, if you watch, like, Prim League.
I got up yesterday morning early. It was, like, 5:30 to watch soccer. So I had some ciders. Now, granted, I went back to sleep. I didn't continue on with my day.
Right. But you still chose to drink.
What time did you eventually wake up?
What did I stay up till? I was like 11 something. I took a 2-hour nap.
So all right, that's fine. Okay.
Did you continue drinking when you woke back up?
Sure.
There's
I think that's the other thing, too. You got to know what your day's going to be, right? So, like, generally, like, if it's Saturday and I want to go to, and there's, like, a party or something Saturday evening.
Sure.
Then I feel like the start time gets moved. But if it's like.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you don't have much going on, you're just going to be at home Saturday, like 10 a.m.
If you go on a fishing boat or something like that, and you have to be at the dock at 6 o'clock, it seems like a Bloody Mary is reasonable at 6:30. Just depends on the activity.
You know, yeah.
Well, the activity
that's early.
Justifies it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Sometimes, you know, if you just want to drink early on a weekend, come up with something you need to do, and then somehow you get the pass. Sure.
The reason we asked how early is too early to start drinking on the weekends. More than 2,500 Americans were asked how early is too early to enjoy your first adult beverage on non-work days. And only 23% said we should wait until 5 o'clock in the afternoon or later.
If I get up at 4:30. Yeah.
16% said it's okay to start drinking at noon. And 10% that said that 10 in the morning or earlier is fine. Another 8% said 11 a.m. and 26% said somebody between 1 and 4 o'clock, so early afternoon. Men are almost twice as likely to think morning drinking is okay on the weekend, just so you know. And a lot of people in their 20s also agree with that. So if you are a 22-year-old man or a 55-year-old man, your mind still has not evolved any differently than it did 30 years ago. Overall, most drinkers and people describe themselves as social, weekend, special occasion. Over a third said they don't drink at all. And 3% said they enjoy a drink at every opportunity.
Yeah.
Only 5% of us drink every single day. So there's the results of the survey.
A couple of interesting comments on this. First, real quick, just about fast food. Someone says, I live in Marysville. That particular Dairy Queen is always crazy busy in the afternoons and evenings. They assume it's the blizzards. Someone else says, the Popeyes by my house in Burlington usually has an hour wait. Regarding drinking, someone says Christmas and Thanksgiving, I'm drinking as soon as I get up. Yeah, there is something different about that.
4th of July coming up.
Then also mimosa, good with any breakfast, anytime. Someone else says you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. That is a good point.
Yeah.
But how does it count? Because what I found on the weekends, all right, just to avoid the domestic dispute of a can of beer being in my hand, all right, I can wait till 10 o'clock to crack the beer, but I don't want to. However, when I get out of bed, I make a pot of coffee, and then that coffee is joined by Kahlua or whiskey or Irish cream. But for whatever reason, that's not perceived as drinking. Even like I'm not trying to hide this.
It's not visible.
But it is, because you're standing in the kitchen and you watch me dump all this booze into my coffee and then stir it up and then go about your day. And I'll do that for a little while. And then about 10:30, I switch from that over to beer. And once it switches to beer, is the first time I get a question. But I'm like, you watch me pour whiskey into my coffee. There's zero problem with this.
See, I also
but it's different. Miles, right? Like, there's no.
But how is
there's
it,
no reason whiskey. Behind it? It's right. Just different.
It's much different. And I think what is R&R? What do you figure? What does that stand for?
Rich and Reserve.
Rich and Reserve.
Oh
right?
Yeah.
Okay. If you
rich
got,
and rare.
Something.
Rich and rare.
Rich and rare.
Rare.
Which is neither.
I know.
But if you
neither of those
okay,
things.
If you have a bottle of that, right?
Uh-huh.
And you put in your coffee in the morning and you do a big fat shot. You know what I mean? Someone might say something to you, like, rich and rare, 8 a.m.
It just depends on the booze.
But if you put in, like, Jameson, they'd be like, oh, you're making an Irish coffee with a
If I did a shot of Jameson, right, and I'm always going to overfill mine, but it's still a shot glass, maybe an ounce and a half, 2 ounces, that would be bad. When I put it in my coffee, it is 50% of what is in my cup.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing, don't give me that look, Mike, it's delicious, but no one says anything. You crack a beer. Now the world's come to now.
What is the what is the best before noon alcoholic drink? And as far as a drink is concerned, beer is not a drink. You know what I mean? Wine is not a drink.
Look, I've been down with the Irish coffees because you can do it iced, you can have it hot, and that's the other thing, right? So I'll make one or two of those, and then that's in the morning, and this is pretty much every weekend. All right. So now, say it's noon. I don't want anything hot anymore. I'll crush some beer. By about 6 o'clock, I can feel where the beer is taking me, but I want to keep drinking, so now I take the leftover coffee, throw it on ice, and just make another whatever. But it's just iced.
I mean, I'll go mimosa, but I just like them.
Mm. I'm going to go Bloody Mary. Really? It's like breakfast in a glass to me.
Yeah, I just don't like them.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of tomato juice at all, but a Bloody Mary in the morning when it just seems right.
Because there's vodka in it.
You're just like, all right, give me the Bloody Mary.
I don't like tomato juice, but I don't mind a Bloody Mary.
No,
I wonder what that is.
Mm-hmm. Tomato soup and liquor. More of the random question coming up. 206-421-ROCK, you are listening to The Men's Room.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
You're in the men's room. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
Check out the brand new KISW face mask. Wear that bad boy over the weekend. A lot of compliments. I swear to God, every time I go someplace, man.
Yeah, everybody, you know that's
mean?
Cool.
Yeah. A portion of each mask helps the Washington State Nurses Association stylish and very cool. Cover the ugly face now with a KISW face mask. All the details and how to pick one up at KISW.com. Actually, we got an interesting email coming up. I'll read about the mask.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see here. Random question 206-421-ROCK. First few comments.
More than a few, but it regards what time you should start drinking or could start drinking or what people choose to drink. The first one says, why would you start drinking that early, though? It's the waste of a day. Hey, it's the weekend. It's a day for wasting. Someone else says, Bloody Mary is a wake-up drink. Someone else adds, I take a shot of, you'll appreciate this, Miles, instead of Metamucil. Says, I take a shot of vodka every morning at 5:30 before work. Makes me go to the bathroom, since I'm constipated from drinking so much protein. Someone else says, screwdriver, red beer. I'm just not down with the red beer. I've tried it.
You know, it's been a while. I'll give it another chance.
Of course.
It used to be really big in West Virginia.
Let's see, of course, Bloody Mary. I believe you should wait until you're at least awake because of choking. Please let me know if you disagree. Someone else says, I'd never judge you for drinking early because that's what I would be doing. And I'd be the one handing you the booze myself. 8 a.m. is the time to start drinking on Saturdays and usually a trash can or a mimosa. What is a trash can?
Oh, that's like a bucket of stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds kind of like the mind eraser or something.
That sounds like a new nap.
An 8 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of people, seems to be a Bloody Mary, like, if you're going to drink at 8 a.m., and this is, I'm just taking an aggregate of what people are saying. If you must drink at 8 a.m., a Bloody Mary is your ultimate excuse. Apparently, no one's going to question you if you do that. I agree with that, even if you go to an airport bar. Right?
Is it, Ted, you're a bartender, is the red eye the same as a red beer, or does the red eye have an egg in it?
The red eye should have an egg in it.
Okay.
Just tomato juice, beer, and then the egg.
And a raw egg.
Right.
Ooh, that might be the one I need to try.
Now, the red beer would just be beer and
tomato juice.
And tomato juice.
What is a Caesar? Someone says best morning drink has to be a Bloody Mary or a Caesar, but I'll settle for a red beer.
A Bloody Caesar it's a Bloody Mary just without vodka. So what's in it?
Tequila?
Is it tequila?
Or is that a Bloody Maria?
I think that's a Bloody Maria, right?
Right, then you can have a tequila sunrise, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure. Either way, hey, let's see. What about red beers in the morning? Get your veggies and beer in the same glass. Someone at 10 a.m. 10 a.m., people raise an eyebrow if I start that early. But it's weird. I was a bartender for years. I never questioned people that started drinking that early. Well, of course
not. I think
it's
different, too, if you're in a bar. Because sometimes when you're sitting at home, like, it's not like I'm consciously waiting. I'll just be watching TV or something, and then I'll be like, oh, man, it's 2 or 3. I should get a beer.
Yeah, just go grab a beer.
I told you, man, when I worked the overnights, we just in the morning, you go and get breakfast, which was essentially your dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But since it's breakfast food, that's what you eat for dinner, you know, 4 or 5 days out of the week if you're going to go out anyway. The place I would go to was just kind of a small diner, but they served beer, and there was a lot of overnight coal mining shifts.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys that were in there, this is happy hour. So you'd walk in there, and there would be just as big of a crowd, it seemed like. You know, every stool was full in the morning with people who were drinking and getting off work. But, you know what I mean? If you didn't normally work the overnight and you were to walk in and see that, you'd be like, what in the hell's going on in here?
Right, but I mean, right. It's just your after-work beverage.
Yeah. I think you know those places, too. Like, I can remember there was a place, like, near where I grew up, and they were famous for it. They started serving at 6 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of a crappy bar, but that was the thing. Anybody that worked in grocery stores or any kind of shift work. If you worked overnight at UPS,
absolutely.
Unloading the trucks, everybody went to this one specific bar.
Mm-hmm. A couple times I've had to get up really early for whatever reason on the weekend. There's a bar by my place, George and Dragon,
They used to have a lot of Prem League soccer.
Right, so that's
on
a huge soccer bar.
And I mean, at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and it might have even been like during the World Cup. I mean, you name it. As far as these odd times, and people were just packed in the parking lot. It didn't matter what time.
I did that at Fadeau by accident, not thinking about soccer. Rolled in like 12 years ago. It may have been World Cup, but I mean, I couldn't believe they were open just based on the time. I was like, well, it's cool. We're going to get breakfast. There was not a seat in the house, man. And by the way, the Caesar involves clam juice.
Clamato. Yeah, I have definitely been to a bar to watch English soccer where you get there at 4:30 and then you watch the first half, and then at 6 a.m. you get a beer.
And by the way, we'll like this. The Five Point has an awesome happy hour from 7 to 9 a.m.
That's it all.
Hello, Jay. Welcome to the men's room. Hello, Jay.
Hola. And he's gone.
Goodbye, Jay.
Come on, Jay.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, Michola.
Hola.
All right, Dave, let's see here. What do we got for you? Okay, Dave, how about this one? What did you or do you keep doing that get you in trouble?
Could
be in a previous relationship. Could be in a current one. Could have been with your parents, with your teachers, with your boss.
Drink too much, get home late, always late for work, whatever it might be.
You got to think of the people who kind of have that authority to to tell you did something wrong.
I'm generally not that guy that gets in a lot of trouble. So that's kind of tough. I would say certainly during this pandemic, being stuck at home for the past 3+ months, and my wife working from home.
All right, because that changes
our fair share of scuttles that we haven't gotten into in the 20 years we've been together.
Well, so I'd say it changes the dynamic. So has she always worked from home, or is this new for her to work from home?
She's working from home because her job is in downtown Seattle at 6th and Stewart. And she can work remotely from home and do her same administrative stuff that she does for an engineering firm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask you this. I think I know the engineering firm. If she can do that, let's assume that you will also be out of the house. If you were out of the house, would she want to continue to work from home, or does she want to go back to work?
I think she's at a level where initially, like they said, a week and a half ago, they said she was supposed to come back July 1st because everything was opening up. But now that everything is rebounding, she just called them and said, hey, you know, I've got my mom, who's 76, living with us, and my husband is 60 and has asthma. So it really isn't prudent for me to go down to downtown Seattle just because to be there.
And with the
bus line, bus line, she takes the bus into Seattle, and every night it's screwed up because of this whole CHOP thing and everything else.
Yeah, well, and not only that, there's no point coming down here. Trust me, we're right there where she works, basically, for the most part. There's nothing really open as far as a place. I mean, Steve's been surviving on 7-Eleven pizza and taquitos.
I'm taking 18 years off my life.
There are real limited options.
I actually brought food in today to avoid that. But so what kinds of issues have you discovered now that you're spending so much quality time together?
Well, I think one of the aspects about our personalities that initially was seen as, oh, cool, someone like me. And then you realize when you're both a little OCD.
Oh, yeah.
You start getting on each other's nerves.
Yeah, that's a fact. Especially when you go to wash your clothes and there's more clothes in there that haven't been turned over. And they smell, and I need to rewash yours before I can even get to mine. Oh, wait, there's your clothes in the dryer, too.
Well, I think for most people, before the pandemic hit, like, you wouldn't run into this issue unless you were both retired.
Right, that's exactly. And a lot of retired people that I've met, one of the last retired people that I met was a while ago. I'm at a Home Depot. The woman's explaining that she's retired. I'm like, is this just for extra income? She's like, I don't need the money at all. It's just that my husband is also retired. And we realize, because, look, even when you marry someone, it doesn't matter who it is, other than your sibling, you don't spend this much time with anybody.
Dave,
wouldn't marry someone if they said you're going to spend 24 hours a day together. No one would be married, period. No.
Dave, do you work out of the house?
No, I actually a restaurant manager, and I have not been brought back yet.
Okay. So, I mean, like, if would it surprise you if your wife said, hey, look, here's an opportunity to make some money spinning this sign on the street for this new apartment complex. Would you just do it to get out of the house and give everybody peace of mind?
Well, I'd have to find something that was paying me comparable to what I'm receiving from unemployment.
Gotcha. Ah, okay, that makes sense.
I mean, that's just got to happen.
So in other words,
Your wife.
Like, take up fishing. I mean, like, if you came home with fish,
right?
Maybe she'd be happy if you're out of the house, or like,
yeah.
Maybe take up hiking. Cool. I'm going to do every hike in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. Why do you think I'm on my deck now enjoying the sunshine?
Yeah, exactly.
I just say, listen, man, and I mean this. This is a great time to either get into the hobby that you always enjoyed doing, just for peace of frickin' mind. And the one thing, nice thing about most hobbies, other people around you typically don't want to be involved in.
Yeah.
Or discover something new.
Right. Do you guys keep doing anything that gets you in trouble at all, personally?
Me? Not so much anymore, but I would preface that by saying things have been actually very, very good, but a lot of that is because all of the bars are closed.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Fair enough.
So when the bars are fully open again, should it ever get to that point, then I'm pretty sure eventually I will settle back into the same trouble I ever got in.
Now, you guys know me.
When you live alone, it's a lot easier because you can come home and there's nobody there to, like, annoy.
Yeah, or give you
or explain.
Right, so you're like, I can just show up when I leave the bar and come home and blare music. Like, mm-hmm. nobody's gonna say anything.
Exactly.
There's days I envy you.
You guys know what a safe driver I am and how I stick to the rules of road and everything else.
Oh yeah.
So I have.
You can post that video.
I don't think I can. I'm not sure exactly, but I have this habit of yellow to me means gas instead of brake.
Yeah.
So if I see a yellow light, I'm just I punch it most of the time.
You should. Well, maybe you shouldn't, okay, but right, I believe you should.
So like last year, I get this letter in the mail, and it's a photograph of me on my scooter at the point in time, making a right-hand turn at an intersection, and it says you didn't stop at this intersection. So I've told the story before. I'm like, I'm challenging this. I go down the courthouse down here, and I go in, not realizing I have weed on me, which was weird because I didn't think of that before I left the house. But I did anyway. I kind of didn't want to throw it away, so I kept it on me. I go in there, and the judge says, what are you going to say? And I said, well, I just want you to know that it is impossible at that intersection at Denny there to not come to a complete stop. It's a dangerous intersection. I guarantee you, I had to stop. Because look, there's my brake lights on right in the picture. He's like, would you like to look at the video? And I says, there's video. And he says, yes, there is. And then I don't even stop at all. I just plow right through the light. I'm like, all right. He's like, you want to write the check? I'm like, yeah, I'll write the check. So I wrote the judge the check, took that. And so yesterday I go to the mailbox. Lo and behold, now there's a letter. There's a letter in there. So I'm like, you know what? I'll just pay this tomorrow when I go to work because, you know, it's easier to get on the computer and all that crap. So I get on the computer where they say, like, there's the picture of my car. And the first thing I thought was, I can't believe they're going to do this to me again.
They did something to you.
Well, because they're saying that I ran a red light, and I know damn well I didn't run a red light. You know what I mean?
That's what you said the last time.
Exactly. And I know damn well I didn't run it this time because I know the exact intersection. I know where I was. The car in front of me slowed down, kind of veered around, and went through the road.
Are you messing with us or not?
No. So I get
how can you say, I know I didn't, when that was your excuse last time and you were found guilty?
Correct. So I go, and so they have the pictures of my car again, and I can see my car, and it looks like it's going through the light and all that stuff, right? So, but then I'm like, oh God, they have the video. The light is yellow. The car in front of me successfully goes through. I blow right through the red light right behind. I mean, completely blow another red light.
You need to find out if you can post it. Miles showed it to me this morning. I want you to understand something. The light turns yellow. The car in front of him speeds up a little bit.
$139, by the way. Just so you know.
Stoneway
and 40th. There's cameras there.
I don't know the exact. Say Miles was 50 feet behind the other car, okay? At the point that this car goes to the yellow light, Miles closed the gap to about 8 feet. I mean, you see his car accelerate. It looks like he's going to slam into the back of the other car. So, Jesus Christ, man.
Just because you drive that way doesn't make it stand up as a legal argument.
I understand that.
I don't think you do.
I really didn't think.
Like, honestly.
The question was, what do you keep doing over and over that gets you in trouble? I'm just in the way on the tree.
God, if you can post that video, you need to. I mean, like, you're excited. acceleration.
It's not even close. Like, it's not
even questionable. I've seen the video. I've been in a car that you're driving.
Ah, yes. Better call the advocate.
That's a hell of a video, too.
The reason we asked...
Right, for the record. Right, like, I'm the opposite. If I see a yellow, like, I'm already 10-2 doing the speed.
Right. I know. The reason we ask, what do you keep doing over and over that gets you in trouble? We go to Carlisle County, Kentucky, where a Bardwell man lands himself in jail for the third time in less than a week.
Come on.
On Sunday afternoon, deputies arrested the 32-year-old Devin Roberts for drinking and being in possession of alcohol. That violated the terms of his bond from a previous arrest. Deputies discovered the violations when pulling over the vehicle, and of course they arrested him for DUI, they arrested the driver for DUI. Roberts was actually the passenger, and he was drunk in this case as well. So Roberts had been arrested for trying to start a fight with a male grocery store worker earlier in the week, and had been making obscene sexual remarks toward female employees. The sheriff then found the 32-year-old man at his home passed out. Unfortunately, he was in the front seat of his car, and his vehicle was still running in the driveway while under the influence of alcohol. He already had a suspended license from previous DUIs. Oh, by the way, Roberts also left his 3-year-old son at home. He was inside while he was inebriated. At the time, he was out on bond for felony theft. Then on Tuesday, Roberts called the sheriff's office and had a deputy come to his home. He called the sheriff's office. He told the deputy that he had taken a waterproof case that was sitting next to a dumpster.
Okay.
And he didn't know whose it was. He then told law enforcement that when he opened that case, inside were items labeled as property of the city. Well, it turns out that he wasn't telling the truth. Deputies later found out that the case had been taken from a city building and contained emergency lights, hydraulic pumps, and other items valued at more than $5,000, in which Roberts was on camera taking from that location. He now faces multiple charges stemming from the incidents.
Now, Mike brought the story up to me earlier in the office, and he said, man, people like this just make me angry for all the obvious reasons. But, Mike, let's think about it. Obviously, this dude has no sense of self-control. Why do you keep letting him out? You know what I mean? I feel like, look, if you get arrested, you got to do a little bit of time. You know, not necessarily going to prison, but you do your time. If you get arrested again in the same week, I feel like, okay, we're just going to tack, say, 2 weeks on. Because you didn't learn, and now this is... The third time, but keep in mind, the first time he got arrested this week, he was only arrested because he was violating the parole from a previous arrest that had happened more than a week ago.
That is correct. And that was probably with DUI, because he had a suspended license.
Right. So that's why he's in the passenger seat. But the idea was, it's not that you just can't drive drunk. None of us can drive drunk legally. That's pretty clear. But they're like, you can't drink anymore. Bad things happen when you drink. Mm-hmm. And you know he's going to keep drinking. And then he stole some stuff. So at some point, you go like, look, I don't... This guy just sucks, or he's a fool. But at some point, like, hey, man, you know, I can only get mad at my kids so many times about the same thing before the hammer drops.
That's the part of learning.
You know,
that's
right. That's the whole thing. Like, I'm not telling you this again. The gloves are off, man. This is done, right?
I had a buddy that got caught in a beach town like 2 or 3 times driving drunk.
Same beach town?
Yes. Ocean City.
Every time?
Of course.
Every time. So his whole thing was he didn't want his family to know. So I don't know how he worked this out, but he, for like a month and a half, every weekend.
He was driving.
No, he had to check into jail. But like his parents never found out that he had been convicted or anything.
Really?
And he just spent like 5 weekends in jail, like completed his time and then moved on about his life.
What did he tell them? They were like, just overnight?
He just was living at the beach. So nobody knew.
He was.
He was only like 20 or 21. Like, he should have gotten a lot more trouble.
So you learn that, kids. Always get in trouble outside of your hometown.
You are listening to The Men's Room.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.